This is Beyond the Couch with Bridges, a podcast at the intersection of Asian, Pacific Islander, South Asian American identity and mental health. I'm Christy.
I'm Sam.
And I'm Diana. We are three therapists who got together in the hopes of demystifying therapy and uplifting stories from our community.
Each week, we'll connect with fellow therapists, experts, and community members about life, identity, and healing. We're so glad you're joining us today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Couch with Bridges Mental Health. I'm Diana, and I'm joined today by Dr. Yiching Grace Hung, who was previously a guest. Grace is a Canadian-Taiwanese licensed psychologist and coach who joined us on episode 53 to share her story about moving to Taiwan as part of her goal to work and live in a more intentional way. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I would highly recommend that you take a listen. Welcome back, Grace. It's so nice to have you back today.
Thank you, Diana. It's so great to be chatting again.
Yeah. Why don't you take a moment to reintroduce yourself to everyone who's listening in case anybody's new today?
My name is Yiching Grace Hung, as you mentioned, and I was born in Taiwan, immigrated to Canada when I was little, and then was educated in the States since grad school in the state for work, and made the transition just over a year and a half ago to moved back to Taiwan, which I haven't been living in for the past almost 30 years, because I got tired of the grind, essentially, and a little bit tired of being a minority. Realized I had a choice and started to work remotely, so continuing my work in the U.S. In private practice while living here at a very slow pace, which is hopefully what I'll try to maintain for a while. Me in a nutshell.
So I wanted to have you back for a second part, because when we last chatted, I felt like we had just scratched the surface in talking about how you made this shift from working at a college counseling center, living in the United States with a very different pace, right? And to starting your private practice. And there seemed to like you were going through so many different changes that you just sort of mentioned, like not only moving from a full-time job working for someone else, for a company, to starting your own private practice, but also moving from the United States to a country that was your original home, your childhood home, but had not been for, you know, 30 years. And so you've navigated a lot of change over the past couple of years. So I thought maybe this time around, we could delve into that more, specifically what it's been like for you to adapt to this new approach, to your living situation, to a country that's home, but probably also doesn't feel completely like home this time around. Mm-hmm. So wherever you want to start.
When you laid it out like that, it seems obvious, like change would be really prominent. But for some reason, I think when I was going through it, it surprised me. I think especially the after moving part, I thought, in my head, it was just like, oh, this is so wonderful. I am going to have a slower paced life. I'm no longer going to have meetings back to back, you know, switching gears multiple times a day. And yet what actually happened was it felt like there was so much adjustment in terms of kind of modality and maybe like hidden life philosophies that it just felt like change is constant. And it was less so about, like you said, switching from a full-time job to private practice per se, but just the whole pace of life and how I spend my time, relationship with time, and also kind of relatedly, you know, relationship with all the little things in life. So it surprised me. It really caught me off guard. And it's still happening today. You know, there's still change that kind of catches me off guard until it happens. Like, oh, I didn't think about this, or I didn't realize that this would happen.
So can you tell us more about the different changes that you've experienced since returning to Taiwan?
Absolutely. And you can probably tell from the way that I'm talking about it just a little bit earlier and even now that it still feels kind of vague and abstract in my mind. So I'm still processing it, still in the midst of it. But I think some of the things that I noticed is one, relationship with time. And I think a lot of that has to do with the idea of productivity. We talked about this a little bit in the last conversation, just the idea of like, time is money, and I need to make it productive, even if I'm not doing work. It has to feel productive somehow. And shifting that so that resting time or doing nothing is a legitimate use of time, right? And I think a lot of that has to, come from this Asian slash Asian immigrant mentality of survival and needing to really make the best of time as a resource and working hard. So I think that's one piece. And I have to admit, my partner, who's Trinidadian, has helped me a lot with this because his mentality is very much like opposite, beach, beer, lay back. Potential point of conflict sometimes, but also very great learning points. And then I think a second biggest one so far that's been more obvious to me is my relationship with my family. Because here in Taiwan, it is my spiritual center as it comes to the Buddhist philosophy piece, which is also very tied to my family. So my mom, my sister, and her partner. And really, think collectivism versus individualism. There's a identity piece and value piece in here because I've been abroad for so long that noticing their mode of interacting and what it's like to show love is very different from what I'm used to. Even though obviously we stay in contact over all these years, living with them and really being more immersed in their lives is feels very different. And I think noticing how my mode is more westernized, right? And I like my personal space, and what that means in terms of spending family time together or joining in shared activities, pitching in, taking shared responsibility, and finding my own boundary in terms of does this feel like too much? And still, I want to show them love in the way that they know how as well, right? Or they know how to receive it. So I think those are two of the biggest that kind of pops up right when you ask me the question. There's a ton more, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, just those two alone sound like very major shifts in the way that you have to think about your, well, they all also impact time, right? They both impact time, like how much time you have in a day, in a week, and how you want to spend that time. And suddenly, if you are living with family, you had mentioned that you were living in your childhood home, right? And if you're seeing your family and they're there, right? Suddenly they're just more prominent in your life, right? And having to navigate like new ways of thinking about boundaries, right? Not something you had to think about before just because they weren't close, right? They weren't close by. So that does sound like a lot. And I guess because navigating change can cause anxiety, and that's something that a lot of, clients come to therapy for. So I'm curious also how you feel it's been going for you, right? To navigate so much change.
It feels very multi-layered, and one of the biggest reasons why I wanted a slower pace of life is so that I can focus more on personal growth and have the time to sift through these pieces. I knew ahead of time that there was going to be an identity shift for me somehow, right? It felt like in the States, especially, I was growing in developing a professional identity, a more kind of sense of self in my 20s and 30s. And I had the feeling before coming back, that I, in some ways, there's going to be a breaking down of that identity that was formed, not in a bad way, but just in a, hey, this context is no longer the same type of way. And in some ways, it's like I have to trudge through some of the older stuff that wasn't perhaps as prominent when I was in the States, and then kind of rework that somehow. And so I think the adjustment, like I said, it was surprising that this is the way it showed up for me. I didn't think about the identity piece manifesting in these particular ways per se, but in other ways, maybe it was anticipated. And so I think because I kind of gave myself a heads up in that way, it feels okay in the big picture. I'm like, okay, when I step back, I recognize that this is normal. This is okay. And I can kind of soothe myself in that way and assure myself. It does feel very much in my head. Like, I know there's not, you know, people around me aren't going through the exact same thing. My family's also adjusting because I'm bringing this fresh element in their ecosystem. And in that sense, we can kind of converse about it, which is really nice that we're able to have these conversations so that none of us feel absolutely alone in that experience. And at the same time, I think there is still an element of like, I'm in my head about this is the part that feels a little lonely sometimes, right? And I think many of us do feel that when we are going through an adjustment process. I think the piece that I've been kind of trying to hold on to is, I know change is a fact of life, just to zoom out really big. And I know that there's a spiritual element, a Buddhist philosophy element that definitely helps to ground me mm-hmm. in this. And knowing that, hey, this is what life is about, right? I made this choice to come back. I stand by my choice. I don't regret it. And so whatever that's coming to, whatever waves that are coming at me, at the end of the day, even though it's really hard sometimes and I feel really not grounded, right, and unsettled and really unfamiliar in new territory, it still feels manageable. So I'm trying to not fight the waves, stay in them and just kind of work through them as they come up and spend some time on each of those things.
Yeah, thank you for sharing how it feels to navigate this. And I think that will be really helpful for people because, maybe some people have this impression that people who manage change well are always feeling grounded, settled. They just know that something's right for them mm-hmm. and that they don't experience these other feelings too of questioning, of, working through something. And that's not always a stable feeling when you're processing. And of course, there's always going to be moments of, did I do the right thing? Is this the right choice for me? Feels like it, but some days, maybe not, right? Depending on what's happening. And thanks also for explaining, that feeling that it's a very internal process, right? Because you are experiencing the change yourself and you're dealing with all the aspects that affect you. And that's very independent of what other people around you may be experiencing, even though they're also experiencing a change, right? But it's just a very different feeling for you versus for your family, who's also adjusting to you mm-hmm. being in their lives every day in this way, right? And, it sounds like what you were saying earlier is that, being in a different context brings out different aspects of who you are. Yeah. And the fact that you anticipated that, okay, when I return to Taiwan, this is what's going to happen. Like, I'm anticipating that I'll have to go through this process of, revisiting these parts of myself and at some point reintegrating and creating this new identity for myself. You knew that. You knew what the process was. And yet, at the same time, you've been surprised by the specifics of the process.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was ironic to me was realizing that the professional identity piece that I've built up and been so proud of, you know, that I'm somebody who can think really quickly and analytically put the pieces together, really rely on the cognitive, right, like the head, and be very efficient with it and be helpful to my work, you know, because of it. And then while home, realizing that that headpiece in the slow life is like an overuse. Right. And a lot of the times needing to just slow down and tell myself, like, hey, I don't need to do all that anymore. All I need to is just kind of focus on this one thing and kind of be peaceful and be quiet in my head about it. Otherwise, my head is moving so quickly and trying to plan, trying to look ahead, you know, whereas nowadays when I look ahead, it's fuzzy and I don't need more certainty, which is, I think, what you're pointing to, right? That piece of like both, where there's a groundedness, but also groundlessness at the same time. And so the head part of needing to, like, the habit of trying to hold on to more certainty and control, needing to let go of that and realizing that this is actually more helpful at this point was really odd.
Yeah, it's interesting this contrast of wanting certainty, wanting control, because I do feel like that is very prevalent in Asian American approaches towards, this desire for stability, for
It's how we
safety,
cope.
have a life plan. Yeah, how we cope with the trauma that's happened through the immigration process and all of that. And at the same time, Buddhism is a philosophy, an Eastern philosophy, right? And as you were talking about, what I was hearing was like practicing non-attachment and being all right with uncertainty, being okay with not feeling grounded all the time, right? And that's also the other side of Eastern philosophies. And it seems like you're finding yourself between these two ends of the spectrum, moving.
Balance is always a moving target. Oh, and Diane, if you don't mind, you know, I'm curious. In your lifestyle now, the place of change as well. And it brought me so much joy and like camaraderie and like excitement in our last conversation to hear about the changes that you've been through lately and that you've chosen. So would you mind speaking to that in your experience too?
Sure. And just to give listeners some context, I have had the pleasure of meeting Grace in person because I am in Taiwan right now as well, and I have been for about a month now. And I think our reasons for being here are very different. And of course, I'm not here permanently, or I don't have the plan to be here long term. And so, I would say that it's been an adjustment. Every place that I move from and towards has been an adjustment. And, Taiwan does feel more like home because it's a place that is familiar to me. My family is here, and it's primarily the reason that I'm here this time. So there's a familiarity in like what I'm here to do, what I'm here for, what I do when I'm here. And there's comfort in that too. At the same time, I think what's been a little bit different this time is I'm here for my grandmother's 100th birthday, and something about that, has definitely made me much more aware of just time passing. So while this whole idea of living overseas for me has been about also reclaiming my time and having more time to live slowly, coming here and thinking about my grandmother and seeing her health because she's not doing as well these days, is bringing up this other aspect of time, back to me about, life is short, and I'm still making sense of that aspect of things, but at the same time, it is helping me with confirming that, what I'm doing is what I want to be doing while time is short. Like, yes, I feel like what I'm doing is exactly what I want to be doing. So I don't have regrets about this plan for the next year and a half of moving around, visiting places. So that's been helpful, but also, once again, being aware of just how short our time is on this planet with the people that we love. And so that's also like a little, anxiety provoking too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a piggyback to last conversation, like when we were chatting in person, like that aspect of your experience of remote work is more of the poster child
Yeah.
in many ways, and change is like an embedded element that you're choosing, right? Which is different from my experience in some way. Like I'm here and it's like coming at me
Yeah.
in ways that are unexpected.
So as we wrap up for today, I am wondering if you could share, maybe your observations or something that has been helpful for you as you've been navigating all of this change, something that you've noticed about the change process or anything like that.
I'm also thinking about your story of traveling around the world, in many ways being able to anticipate change, right? And knowing when you'll move to a certain place and do something else. I think one thing that strikes me is just how change can be both. I mean, it's constant, first of all, but I think we humans, it feels like humans, maybe this is stating the obvious, can cope better with change sometimes when we anticipate it and when we know it's coming. But at the same time, there's all this change that I think from my experience that's been highlighted is so much of it feel like it's just adding up little by little, and it's only the awareness that matters. Like it's happening no matter what. It's just whether or not I'm aware of it, even though I don't anticipate something, right? It's not like a clear market change. And so I think something that I've leaned into as a practice is trying to just tell myself and remind myself, this is, again, this is a fact of life. And I'm going to take it day by day, and I'm going to try and stay open to it and not fight it. And I think in some ways also learning more and more to enjoy perhaps the process of change and feel like a sense of accomplishment from that, from digging a little bit deeper and looking at what's really beneath this, what are the layers, the different layers underneath whatever's coming up, because whatever's being brought out because of this change. Is it a mentality? Is it my relationship with something? Is it, kind of my orientation to life somehow? Something bigger, right? Sense of identity that lays beneath this one specific incident. And I think holding on to that helps me keep track of my growth in some way, so I can see some sort of time growth related to it, and not just all these one-offs. But am I making sense? Help me
No,
out
and I
here.
think this all relates back to your original goal of moving back to Taiwan, which is to have to be more intentional, to have more time to
Thank you
just
for that.
be
Yes.
in the process, right? Instead of what we usually do, which is to think about the process, to think and evaluate the process of, and in this case, change, right? Like, is this a good change? Is this a bad change? This is not anticipated, so this is a bad change, right? I don't like this. And the resistance that comes from all of our judgments about something. And if you're able in this, time to sit with it, right? And to welcome it, that's exactly what I think many of our clients and, myself included, we're all trying to do. Because, as you said, change is inevitable, and just knowing that human beings, we just hate uncertainty, and so this is
We really do, don't we?
the constant conflict that we will always
Yes.
have, and even being open to change and welcoming it doesn't mean that you're going to be in this perfect balance, right? There is no balance. There's just this process of adjusting, right? Constant adjustment of like, oh, I've noticed that I've gotten really in my head about being annoyed at this change, but, you know, being able to notice it and just kind of like sit with it and try to pull back a little bit so that you can see the entire process instead of just like this one thing happening. So I've definitely noticed that about, you know, my own experience. And, you know, when you're moving around, things are always changing. People are changing. Languages are changing. Your comfort, your places that you do things are changing, like, you know, where I'm working changes. So there is this constant adjustment that happens for me too. And
yeah,
sometimes I welcome it and sometimes it's, you know, unexpected and like, oh, the Wi-Fi here is not great. I'm going to have to find a new place. Oh, you know, there's always that initial moment of annoyance. And I think that we are constantly getting better at adjusting and then getting over that hump of annoyance and resistance to then say, wait, okay, that's fine. Maybe my new Airbnb will be better. You know, maybe this is a good thing, right?
Yeah, rolling with it somehow.
Yeah, it just gets a little easier to roll with things as you practice. So
yeah,
maybe that's
here's to hoping.
Yeah, that's what we're all working towards.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being back on the podcast. Tell our listeners how they can find you.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, even though I'm not very active on it at all, but it's there. My handle is @thewakingbell. Thanks for having me, Diana.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Please rate and review us when you have a chance. Be well and speak to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Couch.
Tune in every Wednesday, rate or review us to help grow our community, and subscribe so you don't miss our next episode.
We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us on Instagram @BridgesMentalHealth.